Let's do
Log
it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Did you miss me?
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, back in the saddle, back in the seat. We got Brother George, Brother Warren, Brother Booker, you, me, us, and we. African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rowan and the crew. Come on, y'all. God tell me about the show. If you don't, I will. Oh, yeah. There's no better love, no greater love than something kind. No better love. You know, African American empowerment, we talk about love because it's so important that we learn to love ourselves. And it is a tragedy, right, when we abuse each other. But then when we stand around and watch each other become abused. And that's the thing that we have to change, right? Again, we have to recapture not only our African minds, but our humanity and our love for ourselves first and then for one another, right? And we got to be able to coalesce this group. Right, we're going to have to be able to do the work of working on ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and culturally in order to get back to a place where we have sound communities, sound homes, sound families where we can raise our children in a place of safe, right? And being in this country hasn't always been safe for the African American. That's a fact. But now that we're transitioning into a new era post-Obama, right, there's some transitions that's been going on in our system, right, and we're going to have to be able to balance those things out. So today we're going to talk about, hey, this is breaking news. Brother Warren, our brother, has been banned from Blog Talk Radio, right? Why has Brother Warren been banned for being able to have the right to free speech, right? That's one of the tenets of the American system where you should be able to say whatever you want. You should be able to say whatever you feel, right? But again, when it comes to us, there's a double standard. And we have to be able to stand up and identify when the standard is happening and then take an objective place, right, and have strategies and measures in place to be able to, one, insulate ourselves from this kind of stuff and then be able to sidestep that and keep going, right? We're going to have to stop depending on their systems. I'm using it right now, right? I'm using their system, but here's the deal, right? We're going to have to figure out ways, right, through politics and through economics of being able to stop them from, one, silencing us, and two, developing our own independent systems. Right, where we don't have to deal directly with them, right? And that's them of all races, creeds, and cultures, right, that wants to limit what we say and what we do mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, culturally, and economically. We're going to have to do that. It is our work and our job to be able to put things in place that we can continue to move in and out of systems without being hindered or hampered. So today we're going to hear from Brother Warren. Now, the tenets of the NAAEA before we get started. We need, I'm spelling peace because we need peace in our homes, our families, and our communities, and it's our work to do that. We have to have political agendas, right? That political work is being able to get the resources in place through politics to keep those systems off of us, right, through utilization of the law, but holding the law and the judicial system and the policing systems accountable for the measures that they sometimes take against us, but also using the system to get the benefit as well, using the legal system to get that political edge that we need to get the resources down into our communities to employ, to educate, to develop, to teach, to train our families and our young people. Here's the next thing, E, is economics. We need an economic agenda. If you're not working toward an economic agenda, you're working backwards, right? Stop spending your money everywhere and begin to save some money so we can develop institutions that define our own reality, right? Stop giving it away. If we got reparations today, 90% of the reparations would go back into the hands of those who gave it to us. Instead of building institutions and building businesses that help employ, help educate, help teach, help train, and help develop our young people and our families and our communities. Let's move on to the A. The A is an individual thing. What is your A? Your agenda for athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. mental health, physical health, and emotional health. That's the individual part that you must do. You got to take care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and culturally. You have to be able to push away. You have to be able to have a good diet. You're going to have to work out. You're going to have to eat right. You're going to have to take care of your mental health. You're going to have to de-stress. That's your job. And your job is to preserve yourself for a lifelong process to get the next generation ready and take care of yourself and contribute at the same time. Now, see, relevant cultural programs like this one that educate us, that refine us, but also to make us in a position where we feel good about who we are, right? It's a society that doesn't always promote the best parts of us, and we have to do that for ourselves. And lastly, is education. It's a comprehensive, well-rounded education that really have us to look at ourselves and how we can better ourselves each day, every day, and one day at a time. So go out, join us. We need your now contributions, right? We're building institutions, and we need the support of the African-American community to do that. And now, the Stan Macklin moment. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
All right.
Yeah,
oh,
I
yeah.
hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I just
we got
love
the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brother Stan is so right, brothers and sisters. But we need help, right? We need resources. In this capitalistic system, you need resources. So we need support from you to build these institutions. So we're going to be asking you now to help us out. Help us help ourselves, right? Help us build institutions. Help build platforms where we don't have to be excluded and we don't have to be silenced by other organizations who, when they don't like what we say or what we do, then they silence us. And that has to change. And so, again, it is the work of putting peace in our homes, in our lives, and in our families. So we're going to have to do the work of doing that. And Brother Stan is so right. That's a tribute to my brother, who is my co-host for many years and my good friend. We love you. Keep it going. And bless us to the Macklin family. And now it's time for my favorite segment with Brother George. It's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. Keep your ears open. Got something good for you. It's always education. Oh, yeah. Brother George. Where you at? Come on. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
What? I see you. Hey, mom. Hey, wife. Hey, family. I see you, Brother George. Rock with me. Hey, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing fine, brother. Thank you for allowing me to do this segment each week, and I appreciate it.
Always, brother.
Before I get
always.
Started, I wanted to say that I want to really show my appreciation for the fact that a space was set aside for Brother Booker, who has so much to contribute for our people and have made his share of sacrifices over the years, and to create a space for him to be able to contribute each week was an honorable thing. And I really want to show my support and appreciation for making that happen. Today,
thank you, Brother George.
Yes, sir. Today's Kwanzaa principle from the Nguza Saba is Kujichagulia. To define ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Kujichagulia. This symbol represents patience, self-containment, self-discipline, and self-control. Without these things, we cannot grow to be responsible, well-balanced, and productive members of our family and our community. These qualities, along with honesty and respect for all living things, are essential to the development of our character and help to determine the course of our lives, positive or negative, in this lifetime. Today, the Willie Lynch segment, which is a segment that is designed to counteract what Willie Lynch was designed to do to us, which is to get us not to think and to just accept things as they were told to us by our oppressive slave master. Today's book that I'm going to read out of is called The Teachings of Ptahotep, the oldest book in the world. And it's it was redone by Asa G. Hilliard III, Larry Williams, and Nia Amali. This is on page 17. Do not be proud and arrogant with your knowledge. Consult and converse with the ignorant and the wise, for the limits of art are not reached. No artist ever possesses that perfection to which he should aspire. Good speech is more hidden than green stones, which are emerald, yet may be found among maidens at the grindstone. Those people that speak well everywhere is what he's saying. And I wanted to say that it seemed as though Ptahotep was focusing on how human beings of different classes were dealing with each other at that time. And he addresses how one should deal with people from different classes. If you meet a disputant in the heat of action, one who is more powerful than you, simply fold your arms and bend your back. To confront him will not make him agree with you. Pay no attention to his evil speech. If you do not confront him while he is raging, people will call him an ignoramus. Your self-control will be the match of his evil utterances. If you meet a disputant in action, one who is your equal, one who is on your level, you will overcome him by being silent while he is speaking evilly. There will be much talk among those who hear, and your name will be held in high regard among the great. If you meet a disputant in action who is a poor man and who is not your equal, do not attack him because he is weak. Leave him alone. He will confound himself. Do not answer him just so that you can relieve your own heart. Do not vent yourself against your opponent. Wretched is he who injures a poor man. If you ignore him, listeners will wish to do what you want. You will beat him through their reproof. In other words, when you show kindness and caring, open-heartedness to people who are possibly in distress, but they want to try to debate you as though they know what you know, all you have to do is remain silent. And through that silence, people will appreciate you more because you didn't try to use your knowledge to degrade someone that everyone around knew was a lesser intelligence. And so I think that this book is one worthy of reading for our people, because it's probably one of the greatest books written of all time, even though it's a small book with very few pages. So, Brother Marvin, if you have anything for me, you know, you can go to that. If not, it's back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. And I thank you for the ancient wisdom, right? This is the ancient wisdom of our ancestors that we need to have more access and knowledge of, right? The tenets and the morals and the values that we simply just have to practice and ingrain in our culture and in our societies to help us further develop. Thank you, Brother George, for that. And now the empowerment question of the week, and you can chime in at Slido if you like. Slido number today at slido.com is 310-9540. Once again, slowly, 310-9540. That's Slido, SLIDO.com. Put your thoughts out there if you're online. The call-in number today is 845-277-9250. And now for the empowerment question of the week, how, Brother George, do we as African-Americans use Coogee Chagalier, in our everyday lives?
Well, over the years, I have seen Coogee Chagalier used effectively by our people, especially with name changes. You know, when you change your name and you name yourself, that is a political statement when you do that. And there are many brothers and sisters who have changed their names back to our original name. And it's also used when you have freedom of speech. When you have brothers like Brother Warren and yourself, Brother Marvin, that speak out and tell the truth to our people, meaning that we're speaking for ourselves and we're telling the world with what we think of what is going on with our condition in the world and not letting someone else define that for us. And so Coogee Chagalier has been used effectively, and I encourage our young people to learn more about who we are as a people so that you could take on the responsibility of the scientific-minded people in the world that have given much to civilization, to the civilized world. As a matter of fact, we gave the civilized world the foundation upon which it lives today. And so, no, we didn't do every single thing as far as improvements and different things of that nature, because I don't think God intended it that way. I think God intended for other groups to contribute with upgrades to different things, and it's nothing wrong with that. We're improving something that's good, but you want to make it a little bit better. So I encourage our young people to come back and take that mantle back of being the leaders of the scientific-minded work. So I hope that answers your question, Brother Bob.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother George. We appreciate your wisdom and your guidance. Continue to give us knowledge and wisdom as we continue to move forward educating our people one day at a time. Thank you, brother. It is up to us, brothers and sisters. Right? This is what African-American empowerment is all about. It's educating us, the focus, right? The demographic, the mindset and the mentality, and we're geared toward dividing the mind from the conditioned state that we're in back to a state where we're developing ourselves, and we got to do that work for ourselves and our communities one day at a time. All right, we're going to go over to Brother Booker. It's now time for Be the One. He's going to show you and tell us how we can become the one each day and every day and one day at a time. Brother Booker, time for you to bring it. Oh, yeah.
Bring it. What? We're right here. We're not going
nowhere, Brother Booker. We're right here. How you doing, sir?
Good, brother. How you doing, sir?
Welcome to the show. Doing well.
Good, good. And as always, let me begin by saying peace to all the brothers and sisters within the sound of my voice. And I also want to give a shout-out, if I can, to Brother George for doing what he does every week, brother. And thanks for the recognition, Brother George. You know, we say, assalamu alaikum, brother. May peace be unto you. I just want to continue where we left off, brother. And I think we left off on the sixth characteristic or qualities of the one, but I'm going to recap the first five, And of course, the first one is the one is honest with himself or herself. And that's the most, to me, that's the most important one of them all, because that leads you to the others, to the rest that's coming. Because if we're not honest with ourselves, then it's hard to do number two, which is the one loves himself. Because you got to be willing to be honest with yourself, to admit that we don't love ourselves, that you don't love yourself. And then work on loving yourself. Learn to love yourself. We must love ourselves. Then number three, the one loves his people. Again, being honest with ourselves, we understand we don't love our people. How we love our people if we don't love ourselves individually? You see all the fighting going on at Huguenot High School, brother, here in Richmond, all of the shootings in the neighborhoods and all over the country in black neighborhoods. That's self-hatred. Love, if we loved ourselves, none of this would be happening. Then we go to number four, brother. Believe in himself. The one believes in himself. If we're not honest with ourselves, we're not going to admit we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that God is in us. We don't believe the greatness that's in us. We don't believe that we created everything, that we are the mothers and fathers of the universe, that we control our destiny if we only knew it and recognize it. We got to believe in ourselves. Right now, we're dependent on other folk to do things, give us opportunities and take care of us, because we don't believe we can do that. Then number five, the one believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves. So once we start to believe in ourselves individually, then we must understand that we must believe in our people as well, even if they don't believe in themselves. And we have to get them straight to where they can see themselves in you being the one. And number six is the one we got this week, brother, is the one always stand for what he knows is right, even if he have to stand alone. And brother, that's a tough one. Well, they all are. But I mean, when you think about that, standing for what is right when you're the only one standing for it. You're going to be called crazy, stupid, ignorant. You know the adjectives they're going to throw at you, that you're out of your mind, that you, I wouldn't do it because nobody cares about it. You got to say, like I said, excuse the language, mama, damn all that. You do it. You stand for what is right, okay? Like Brother Warren, stand for what you know is right. We've got to, if you have to stand by yourself, and when you look back at the biblical history, isn't that what Jesus did, supposedly? He stood in the midst of all of the evil by himself. Folk didn't believe him, but he stood for what he knew was right. And ultimately, they say it cost him his life. But that's what you have to do. Stand for what you know is right, even if you have to stand alone. That's the sixth characteristic of the one, brother. And if I could add this for Brother Warren, we must understand, and you too, Brother Marvin, like Brother George said, because you're doing it too. It's not that they denying his freedom of speech. You can say what you want to say. Just get your own vehicle, your own communication vehicle to say it. We ain't going to let you say that on our vehicle, on what we control. Our enemy, they control the frequencies, brother. To have a radio station, an owner of a radio station, you have to own what they call the frequency, which is invisible air that the sound is transmitted on. You have to, white folks own those, brother, the frequency. For radio, television, internet, all of that's a frequency that you have to have rights to. We don't have no frequency, but then you got to ask, how do they own it? Isn't that for the universe? Wasn't that created by our Father, God? But we don't own it now. He's taken ownership of that. Think back to the Indians. They just sent smoke signals, brother, how they communicated supposedly. White man didn't know what they were saying, but they had their own communication vehicle. They had the air and they had the smoke. They sent smoke signals. We need to control, because they can always will turn it off. say something we don't like, do something we don't like, we will shut it down. Yeah, you can say it, but you just can't use our vehicle to say it. And we're going to shut it down. Like Internet, they could turn it off anytime they want to because they control it. All the Internet is a military weapon, brother. That's all it is because it was first created for the military. They control all communications vehicles. Turn it off, turn it on when they want to. The one stands for what he knows is right, even if you have to stand alone, brother. Thank you for the opportunity this week, brother, and welcome back.
All right. All right. Thank you, Brother Booker. We appreciate you. Knowledge is, brothers and sisters, power. That's what it is, right? And now we have to be able to stand up and stand out and become better at being our best selves. And now, the man you've been waiting for, straight from New Orleans, Louisiana, Brother Warren. Bring it, brother. Brother Warren.
I want to thank you so much. I want to thank the African American Empowerment Association and Empowerment Saturdays for the work that you have been doing. You are truly an institution. You're consistent. You're dedicated to African American people. And so therefore, it is always an honor to be in the house of Empowerment Saturdays. I am Brother Warren. I was the host of a blog talk radio podcast entitled New Orleans Wake Up. And on September 27th afternoon, as I began to prepare for a program, I realized that I couldn't log in, and it said, your account has been disabled. Or your account is disabled. And so ever since September 27th, I've sent maybe 3 or 4 emails to support for Blog Talk Radio and haven't gotten any response. So the question would be, what was this about? So let me say that, first of all, I anticipated this type of action at some point. Whenever you're an effective communicator, that is, whenever you are narrowing things down for the people to understand and you're calling out racism, then you will be stopped, at least depending on what the forum is. In many cases, you'll be killed, outright killed, like many people have. But, of course, this is social media, so the way they kill you, they kill your voice. And so this term that we've come across over the last couple of years called anti-race, anti-racism, anybody that's confronting white supremacy and racism, you obviously become an anti-race worker. You become an anti-racism person. And so my shows on Blog Talk, I've been a member of Blog Talk approximately since 2012, and I went on a hiatus. So about maybe 2013, and then from 2013 to 2020, I would have a show sporadically. But it wasn't until the pandemic, when everybody was shut in and couldn't go nowhere, that I began to upgrade my account and begin to broadcast more frequently. Now, the overwhelming majority of the shows that have been recorded, and of course I can't ask, I did save some of the shows on a hard drive, because what I would do is rebroadcast many of those shows, so I already had them saved, but I don't have all 200 and something shows saved. But the bulk of those shows were basically interviews with scholars dealing with a realm of issues as it relates to the black experience locally, nationally, and globally. And I developed a niche maybe for about a year of specifically addressing racist talking points by those who identify as conservatives. That became like a special niche that I have, because what I would do when I was not broadcasting, I would listen in on a lot of so-called conservative radio programs, and in many cases call in. I mean, he lets you call in and talk. And what we have to be able to do, people, is we have to sometimes get very close to the enemy in terms of communicating with them and listening to what they say and how they say it. And you'll find out many times that the loudest barking dog has no bite at all. These people who identify as conservatives, and let me be clear, it's not to say that those who say they're liberals are not racist. Those who are liberals are also racist. But the ones who unapologetically articulate and vocalize anti-black rhetoric are those who tend to fall in the so-called self-proclaimed conservative, Republican, MAGA Republicans, you know, camp. And so what I noticed about all of them is they all were saying the exact same thing the same way, which it was very clear that someone provided the index cards, the talking points, and all they did was regurgitate them. So I took it upon myself to do shows and pulling apart these talking points. So let me give an example of a talking point. And I'm going to lead into how the death of my show occurred and who's behind it. And so let me give a disclaimer. All things said are the perspectives and viewpoints of the guest, Brother Warren, and does no way reflect necessarily Empowerment Saturday's viewpoint. Brother Warren takes full responsibility for whatever said here on today's program. So let me go to a talking point that I would address you here. This thing about black people like to play victimhood. See, that's a big famous one they use, that blacks are being victims. In other words, we have no reason to gripe. We're just playing like we're just sorry and we're victims. So this is what they say all the time. So I did a show, and the show was entitled, "Yes, I Am a Victim, and I'll Say It Loud." Now, Brother Warren has been a victim of white privilege on Blog Talk Radio because many of the white conservative hosts didn't like what Brother Warren was saying. So they put in a complaint to their fellow white brethren, administrators of the podcast company, and boom, I'm silenced. Now, the victimhood thing is this. When someone is robbed, someone is raped, someone is kidnapped, someone is murdered, they're a victim. And God knows all of that has happened to black people collectively as a group. They're a victim. And when the police arrives on the scene and investigate, the persons that are alive will be classified as victims. And even the ones that are dead will be classified as victims. In the history of African people in the Americas and the United States, have been that of victims. So when they say blacks are playing a victimhood, that is a way to deny black people their humanity and their right to have a grievance. Because what they're saying is black people have nothing to grieve about. Okay, so that's one show. That's a talking point I address on being a victim. Another one is white privilege. They deny white privilege exists. So I did a three-part series on white privilege. And again, the very fact that Brother Warren's show was selected, and Brother Warren didn't threaten anybody's life. Brother Warren did not single out any particular racial group. The only focus Brother Warren was on was white conservatives, and conservatives mean racist. Because conservative means to preserve the status quo. And conservatives want to preserve things how they have been before people receive their rights. That's what they want to conserve. But, however, on one particular show entitled American Statesman, one of the regular callers, a black conservative, explain to Brother Warren how he would like to kill him, how he liked to murder him. This was done on the show. Okay, as well as being called the N-word by some of these people here. So the thing about white privilege, I did shows looking at the role of black conservatives. And what happened during the pandemic, I was listening to, remember a lot of things was going on during the pandemic. We had the George Floyd protest. We had Trump was the president. And I began to hear on Blog Talk, because, you know, social media being Twitter and YouTube, and I never really was a big user of Twitter, and I had really began to really get deep into YouTube during the pandemic, and then I started listening to Blog Talk, because, again, we were all locked down, and, you know, that was something to do. And I began to hear these programs where they had these black people who appeared, and some of them had African names, but they begin to articulate what is called conservative talking points. They were big Trump supporters, and they would even have conversations. So you would have a guy by an African name, let's say like a Pianchi, that would be the African name, and they would be having a conversation with somebody who's a self-professed racist. And I'm saying something ain't right about this. The conversation is smooth. They're friendly with each other. So something is going on. So I begin to listen very carefully to all of these people. And I draw the conclusion that what's happening here is that these so-called conservatives need a black person on their program to actually say the racist stuff so they wouldn't have to say it. So they could say the black guy said it. And this is where I discovered one of the regular callers on Blog Talk who would call in to just about any conservative show and some of the black shows. And he goes by the name of Pianchi Bancole. And I would listen. I would also call into these shows, right? So Pianchi and I began to have very contentious interaction with each other because he would just dog black people out. I mean, literally everything out of his mouth was a condescending comment about black people. And even when the white people were not even talking about black people, he would throw it in. I've listened to him so much, I know every line he talks about. He talks about the Chicago killings, the murders that take place among our people in Chicago. That's a regular point he throws up as some evidence there's no racism. He claims to have worked with an African-centered schools in St. Louis, because that's where he's supposed to be out of. And I want you to watch this contradiction I'm talking about. And he talks about he's supposed to be this rich guy. He's a millionaire. He worked in steel. He built all these buildings. And he speaks as if he's a white Anglo-Saxon male. In fact, I've heard him brag on white Anglo-Saxon males, and I've heard him denigrate continental Africans. Now, mind you, he's an African name, and supposedly he says his wife is a Ghanaian. So I'm saying something doesn't match here. This guy might have been a person possibly involved in the African-centered community maybe at one time, but now he's a full-fledged soldier for white racists. That's one of the persons I was informed was one of the complaints to the Blog Talk community about me. There's a program called CNN Radio, Conservative Nation Radio, a white guy has, white guy named Robert Gardner, something like that. And I had to respond. I had to do a responding show based off a show they did where I called in and I was castigating the Florida curriculum that was developed, the black history curriculum that Florida developed as a way to get around the fact that they banned an AP African American Studies course. you are familiar with that controversy in Florida where the College Board developed an advanced placement class in African-American studies, and Florida has this anti-woke law, and DeSantis, and, you know, banned the course. So they claim that they taught African-American history, and then they revised this course. And, of course, one of the most controversial things about this course was the comment made that black people during slavery learned skills that they were able to benefit from. And I was addressing this basically as an attempt to just say that there was some good about slavery. And so one of the regular callers on these shows, like Pianchi, is a guy that goes by the name of Sarge. And Sarge's persona, and I want to say this, all of these things are alter egos. The alter egos are personalities that you create when you go on social media because nobody really knows who you are. Okay. So the Pianchi position is a alter ego. I don't think he really is who he comes across as, and so is the Sarge. So Sarge takes this, he's a former military guy. He claims he fought in Vietnam. He fought in the Gulf War. So he comes across like Rambo and George Patton all at the same time, but a black guy who pushes for the Constitution and whatnot. So he and I would get into these verbal exchanges, and I was trying to explain, you know, there was nothing good about slavery. I mentioned torture. And the white guy whose show it was begins to chuckle. In other words, laughing at the fact that it was torture. Then the Sarge guy, his approach, he starts screaming and yelling. Yeah, he starts, you can't have a conversation because he starts screaming and yelling and cursing. So anyway, I did a response show to that. And the show was called To CNN Radio, All of Slavery Was Bad. Because here go a talking point that they've developed, ladies and gentlemen, that during slavery, there were some good things happened to black people during slavery. And if you don't address that, if you don't accept that, then you're trying to divide America. You are socialist and a communist, and therefore you are anti-American. If you say all of slavery was bad, you are anti-American. So what these idiots do is they start digging in deeper, trying to find some examples of what was good during slavery. Because really what is happening here is there's an attempt to deny black people's humanity. What are you all bitching about, black people? We fed you. We took care of you. And we rescued you out of the savagery back in Africa. That's what Pianchi says, that kind of stuff. So there's a guy named Vincent Brown who has a show called Black by Color Only. He broadcasts on Saturdays, and his show is on the account of CNN Radio, the conservative radio show that the white guy has. So Vincent Brown's view is that he's just black by color only, but every time he does his two-hour show, he's ragging in on black people. And my position is, if you're black by color only, don't you just leave black people alone? What I'm showing, what I've unveiled, ladies and gentlemen, was the type of network that is operating in the name of being concerned for the Constitution, being concerned for rights being taken away, that's what these conservatives say. But when somebody exposes them for the races that they are, they're working to take away your voice. So they worked to silence me just so they can have peace on their programs to talk about how victims they are of the government take over their lives and China taking over and how their voice is being taken from the government, but they take somebody else's voice away on this platform. But I want to say congratulations to all of them, because this is about the greatest achievement in life that any of them have. Most of these people, as I've listened to them and assessed them, are unemployed. They're unemployable. They're recovering drug addicts. They're convicted felons. They've been molested, or they're molesting children themselves. And they are with Hillary Clinton, who I'm not a fan of Hillary Clinton, but she did refer to these MAGA Republicans as a basket of deplorables. And that's what many of these people are, a basket of deplorables. And I know that these things happen when you have an effective voice. I have been and am prepared for this type of stuff. And I want our people to understand, we must understand the arguments that the enemy has developed to propagandize against us. And we must take every specific argument and tear them to shreds and pieces and throw it in their face. And that's what I did. This one black man had them all scattering and worried on how to deal with me. They said the Prophet Muhammad had a saying, and the saying was like this: one learned man is harder on the devil than 1,000 ignorant worshipers, and I've been giving them devil's hell. There's one learned man been giving them devil's hell. And I got an email this morning. I checked my email, and it was from one of those guys, and this is what the email says. Because what happened was somebody made me aware last week that they were talking on the show about how they were going to, how they was making complaints to Blog Talk. And how Blog Talk told them it was an internal matter and they would deal with it. And then when I was doing a show last weekend, a couple of shows, one of these individuals would come into my chat room and would make comments like, pretty soon you will have no more voice. You will have nobody else podcast to call in anymore. Well, I assume this is the individual because the email says, I told you that you would be banned from Blog Talk. And thanks to our friends that you hate, Piyaki, Sarge, and Vincent Brown, you have no voice. If you act like a nigger, we will treat you like a nigger. We will restore our republic. So that was the email. And let me say the term that I crafted, the term I crafted for black people, the term I crafted for black people who articulate white conservative talking points, and this term, by the way, has really disturbed them. I call them black comfort dogs, and I've developed an acronym, BEAST. BEASDS, Black Emotional American Support Dogs. And we all familiar with these support dogs. We see people in the bookstore, at the airport with these dogs they walk around with, and they go everywhere with them dogs. Sometimes I've gone in the bathroom, and these folk come in with these dogs, and the dogs come and sniff all around. You at the urinal, the dog comes sniff around you. And mostly white folk I've seen with these kind of dogs. And that's what these white folks need people like Piyaki, Sarge, and Vincent Brown for, is to serve as the black face who says the racist stuff, so the pressure is not on them for having said it. So the blacks who do this are black emotional support dogs. You know, Sarge used to try to, he wanted to challenge me in a debate all the time. He wanted to set up a debate. That was the greatest achievement in life he wanted to do, to debate with me. And I had to make it clear to him that every time we've interacted on any of these shows, it was a debate. And I kicked his butt every time. In fact, I kicked his butt so many times, my foot is sore. And so they really, really wanted to – see, I'm the kind of person they would have lynched. Or they'd have been coming at me with a lynching. And if there was no rope, people like Piyaki, Sarge, and Vincent Brown would run out to Home Depot to buy the rope. And if the white folk want to call the lynching off, they'll cry like babies because they want to see the lynching. That's how bad I was with these people. And so I thank you so much, Brother Marv. But we got to know that when we're on these social media platforms, anytime these folk will pull a plug, And we just got to be aware and cognizant of that. Thank you so much, Brother Moore.
Wow. Thank you, Brother Warren, for sharing. So I want to get into a few questions and answers before, you know, we get into it. But let's go back to how this thing started, right? Your platform, can you tell us about what you created your platform for and then how long you've been operating as New Orleans
Wake
Up?
Well, when I became
Wake
a member
Orleans, right?
of – when I started New Orleans Wake Up, it was in 2012. And I was introduced to that by someone who shared it with me, and I was able to listen to programs, and it was just so easy to establish your own show. And I used New Orleans. My place is the place where I'm from and live is a world-class tourist site, rich with a lot of history as relates to African people. And I wanted to use my city as a geographical center to talk about blacks, not just here in New Orleans, but around the nation and around the world. And that was the idea of the show. In fact, one of the things that I would always say on my show when I open up, I would always say the New Orleans Wake Up Show, this is what I would always say. I would say the New Orleans Wake Up Show connects New Orleans to the larger issue of black survival in an intense global anti-African environment. We provide a local, national, and global critical analysis and commentary on a variety of subject matters and how they relate to the black experience, including indigenous black populations of Australia and the South Pacific Islands. So I've had guests from the continent of Africa. I've had black guests from Europe. I've had black guests from Latin America and from the English-speaking Caribbean. In addition to guests from New Orleans, I've had white guests who were scholars and very well informed on aspects of the African experience. In fact, there was a white lady I had who wrote a book called, it's called South to Freedom, and how another part of the Underground Railroad was enslaved blacks in Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas who escaped to Mexico. And I had interviewed her. I interviewed a guy who talked about a white guy at an African-American experience in North Carolina on the coastal areas. Oh, there's so many different topics that I covered. I talked to a young man. He's a marine archaeologist, an African-American, who are diving. There are these African-American archaeologists now who are diving in the ocean looking at sunken slave ships and trying to understand the slave trade. And so I had Neely Fuller, the great Neely Fuller. I was able to interview him with a two-part series on what is racism. I've had the brother out of California, Manu Ampum, professor of African studies out there at Contra Costa up there and out there in the Bay Area somewhere out in California he is. I've had so many intriguing guests. Margaret Timley of Black Agenda Report about her book, The Presidents in Black America, looking at every president in a relationship with black people, and all of it was negative. And I can't access any of those things. I do have some of that stuff recorded, but I can do that stuff over and over again with my eyes closed is the issue. So I haven't heard from Blog Talk Radio. But anyway, Marv, I just want to share that with you about the origin of the show.
Okay, great. And again, and those are the type of shows that we need to educate our people on our history, on our culture, through the lens of education, but also through the lens of just developing basic knowledge of our history and our culture. So great job for that, Brother Warren. Let's go over to Slido for a minute. We've got a few statements over there. And again,
okay.
Slido.com, if you go out there, the number is 310-9540. You can always plug in that way. Or you can call 845-277-9250 to speak with Brother Warren live. Okay. The first statement and question over here is, give others the power to silence us. What are your thoughts on that, Brother Juan? Should we do that, or what should we do? What are your suggestions?
Wait, repeat the question quickly. It was a point you said, though.
Should we give others the power to silence us?
Well, I mean, it depends on what format you're on. I mean, if they control the format, there's really nothing you can do about it. If they can shut you off, they have the prejudice to decide who they want. Oh, YouTube does it all the time with people, so does Twitter. It's just where we are in social media at this point. Until African people develop their own social media platform, this the way it'll be.
All right, then that leads to the next one. What happened to the right to free speech? You know, these things that we continue to run into.
Well, this is the hypocrisy of the society we live in. The people who are saying that their rights are being taken away, which are the white people, have no problem with taking away black people and mostly other non-white people's rights. It's the hypocrisy that people like Malcolm taught us about this country.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, as we go back to the American Revolution, give us liberty, give us death, and we want the right to be free from England, but hold slaves at the same time. That is a hypocrisy and a contradiction all day long, but that is the system in which we're operating in, where they can say one thing and do another, right? So we have liberty and justice for all, but what is for all? Because it's not for everybody. It's just for certain people, right? How that system works. What do you think about that, Brother Warren? And how does that contradiction continue to afflict our people?
We've always lived in contradiction here under white rule. White people say one thing and they do another. It's just like the United States foreign policy is reflective of its domestic policy. It preaches human rights, freedom, and democracy, but it practices what you call autocratism, repression. It practices repression on elements it seeks to continue to dominate. It's what we've always been in, hypocrisy. You know, it's like you tell somebody don't eat pork, and yet you have a pork chop sandwich in your hand. That's white people.
Mm-hmm. All right, next slide, and then we go to the lines at the top of the hour. What in the hell was good about slavery? What in the hell was good about slavery, Brother Warren?
Well, according to these white supremacists, black people learn skills that they can benefit themselves with. And I'm telling you what they're saying. Some slave owners taught their slaves how to read. They fed them. And on some plantation tours, some of the tour guides tell me some of these whites come and look at some of the slave cabins that are left on some of these plantations and make the comment, oh, that's better than what my folk used to live in too. The point with that comment about slavery is that they want to deny black people humanity, and they want to deny black people the right to grieve and to complain about what has happened to them. That's the purpose of all that. The reality of racism violates the mythology and myth that they've created in their mind about how the country was started. So slavery is a big obstacle in their mythology, and they're trying to find a way around it. That's what that's all about.
All right, thank you, Brother Warren. 845-277-9250 is the call-in number. Slido at slido.com, 310-9540. Here's the next Slido question. We need more effective voices within our communities. What do you suggest is another step toward that happening with our people?
I think one of the greatest acts of resistance that we should take that we've gotten away from, unfortunately, is to buy books and read books, physical books in our hand. So when people see a bunch of black people, instead of us dancing, instead of us cracking jokes and laughing, they've seen us at the bus stop with books open. They've seen us in the line at the supermarket with books open. They've seen us walking down the street reading. They see us reading to our children, having our children read to us. What kind of books? Books that deal with the African and the African-American experience. That in and of itself would drive people mad and crazy, and that would be one of the greatest acts of resistance ever. So you might start seeing people get killed and shot down for reading books. Because we see that in places like Florida, they're actually banning certain type of books. We had here in New Orleans Ruby Bridges, who was one of the little black girls to integrate one of the schools in 1960 in New Orleans. And her book, the book about her life story, is banned in Florida in the schools. So the answer to that question, we must go back to reading, because it's when you read a book from cover to cover, you can't get everything by watching a YouTube video. Most of what we see on these YouTube videos with people are created histories. They're trying to become famous themselves. But we've had scholars that have sacrificed their life and their vision, like Chancellor Williams, John Henry Clark. We should read their writings to get a greater analysis. We lack the ability to analyze our situation, the true nature of our situation. And you get that through study. And you study by being disciplined to be quiet and read. When you're watching YouTube videos a lot of times, it's not quiet time. It's just people talking. But we have to get back to reading. Remember how it was back in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s when we went to black bookstores and we packed black bookstores and many of us would buy $100 worth of books almost every week? We need to get back to that.
All right. And reading is also a thorough, a major cognitive process that our people need to continue to process information and to grow, develop those neural pathways. All right. 845-277-9250. You're listening live to African American Empowerment Saturday. Breaking news. Brother Warren's been banned from Blog Talk Radio, and we want to do something about it. He's here to tell us about the situation and what we can share with him about our thoughts and feelings, as well as how we can support you, Brother Warren. So the next question before we go to the lines is, how can we support you, Brother Warren, in this situation that you're currently in?
Well, actually, I'm not suffering anything, really, because of the ban from Blog Talk. But what you can do for me is you can commit and dedicate yourself to studying these aspects of our history. I want everybody to start doing a scientific study of enslavement. Books about slavery are very sophisticated now. They're full of data. And in conjunction with that, I need you all to start doing your family trees. Identify your ancestors who were enslaved. It is not hard. It requires discipline, talking to elders, writing down oral histories, and going to things like the census, finding your ancestors at least up to 1870, knowing what county and what state your ancestors lived in, learning who were the slave owners there. That's what you could do to make me happy. Dedicate to studying the enslavement and documenting the presence of your people there. So many black people are talking about reparations. And what's, to me, unfortunate about that conversation, most of the people have not actually identified their ancestors who were enslaved. And you need to document the presence of your family in this country. Like, for example, take the high school kids today. They would be young enough to be my grandchildren, okay? The high school kids, ancient history to them is the civil rights movement. Get these kids to start interviewing people who lived through Jim Crow. And people in their 80s and their 70s and their family who drank from the segregated water fountains, who went to the segregated bathrooms, who were born in segregated hospitals like I was, who went to segregated schooling. Because to them, that's like ancient history to these kids. But let me tell you what these white folks are doing. And this is very important. This is another talking point they're saying to you. Well, Marvin, slavery didn't happen to you, Marvin. You were not a slave. It was so long ago. You didn't know it. So what they're trying to do is play with your mind. They're trying to play with your psychology, right? They're trying to make you think that slavery is so far away that you will have a better chance to meet a Martian from Mars. When you go, now, look, I knew all of my grandparents, their grandparents were slaves, except one, a couple of lines, where some of my people were what they called free blacks. But before you were free blacks, they were still enslaved at some point.
But my grandparents knew their grandparents. They knew their grandparents who enslaved. I mean, I grew up in a house where we had pictures of these enslaved people. I have a quilt sitting on my bed that one of my third great grandmothers made who was enslaved. See, this is how you're gonna make me happy, folks, when y'all do this kind of stuff. Find and document the presence of your family in America and identify your ancestors who were enslaved, because these white folk are trying to wipe that out of memory.
Mm. Wow. Thanks, Brother Warren. That's powerful. Let's go to the lines. 202-0809. You're up. I see your hands raised. What you got for me? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I've been listening and following, and it's unfortunate what happened to Brother Warren. My name is Noah, calling from the great state of Indiana. Yeah, so question for Brother Warren.
Welcome.
I mean, I can understand a white person or non-black person being the obstacle to African people's freedom or liberation in a way. But what's your advice to these people like Bianchi, Sarge, and the black bicolor only? What's your advice when you see black people or people who profess to be black who are being used as emotional support dogs? Because I think this is the worst form of tragedy, especially when we talk about black-on-black violence. I think this is pretty much the worst-case scenario. What's your advice to those folks that you mentioned that seem to be being used as a proxy, I think, in this war for black-on-black violence? I would put it that way.
You know, the elder Neely Fuller Jr., who has written about racism / white supremacy, he tries to remind us that people like them are victims also. And he uses the metaphor of a slave ship, that Neely Fuller. He says, imagine a slave ship in the middle of the ocean, and it got slave ship written on the side of the ocean. And black people are at the bottom of the ship chained in unnatural conditions, urinating on each other, defecating, throwing up. And all of a sudden, the captain of the ship, which is a white person, comes down the ladder and says, Marvin, I want you, Marvin, and Brother Warren, come up on deck. So we have privileges because the captain of the ship, gave us privilege to come up on deck to get extra food. Well, we're still victims. This is what he's pointing, still victims. But my point of highlighting Bianchi and Marvin and Vincent Brown was twofold. That number one, their personalities are created personalities on social media. That number two, they're solely needed for the whites. The white folk need them. The white folk need them around. So when a Brother Warren calls in to challenge them on their viewpoint, the black guy is sitting on the side saying the same thing. Remember Django Unchained, the role of Stephen, the butler who appeared to hate blacks as much as anything, but he still was what? He still was a slave himself. And remember the role on the Soldier Story of Sarge? Remember Sarge in the Soldier Story, the sergeant guy who was real rough on the black guys? And one of the guys said, I feel sorry for somebody, the guy who was picked on. So this is what we're dealing with here. Now, some emotional support dogs are more dangerous than others. You got different degrees of danger, because some of them are really cold and calculating. And that's my opinion of Bianchi Bantole. He is like the real slime ball of the pack. Now, I recommend you all go listen to shows called CNN Radio, particularly go to July 29th. If you go to July 29th, I think that was a Saturday, and in the daytime, the show was, it was a Saturday, July 29th, on CNN Radio, go to Black by Color Only, and then go to the CNN. They're all on the same account. And when I did the show saying all the slavery was bad, I put the two links to those shows in my show description just so people themselves could go hear the foolishness that coming from these people's mouths. So to answer your question, caller, is that there's not much we can do about those kind of people. They will always be there. The real focus is on the whites that organized this, you know, because you're gonna always have collaborators. We're not gonna get rid of collaborators. That comes with the territory there. But you go to the captain of the ship. That's who you go to, the captain of the ship. See, I would often say in my shows, ladies and gentlemen, that I didn't want to debate these emotional support dogs. I want to debate their masters. I don't talk to dogs because dogs take orders. I want to talk to the master. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Brother Warner, thank you for calling. Caller, for that question. Let's go back to the lines. 804-9292. 804-9292. Got a question or comment? Welcome to the show. All right, let's go over to 205-3220. Do you have a question, comment? Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening, Brother Warren. Let's go over to Brother George then. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Now, you and I always have our personal conversation, but I want to bring you in because you have a feeling about what he calls emotional, Brother Warren calls emotional support dogs. I call by another name. We know what that name has been traditionally. But I want you to elaborate on the thoughts that you had about those type of people in our communities and in our organizations.
Well, my view, first of all, is not to try to convince our oppressors or their supporters to change their position. I think you end up wasting your life trying to accomplish that because, one, we live in a capitalistic society, and it is very profitable to be in the positions that they're in. When they have those shows, they can make a lot of money and get a lot of contributions and become rich for trading on our people. Now, I did a piece some weeks back, and I said that, essentially I said that a lot of times we will label people as Uncle Tom. And I gave a definition because the Uncle Tom, most of the time, when you go back to the character of Uncle Tom during slavery, it was a person that was trying to bargain with the slave master to keep us from getting ultimate punishment. And so they would almost do whatever's necessary to beg and plead and all of these different things to keep us from getting that capital punishment. And so today, you know, you could translate that, and a lot of times, and Uncle Tom is somebody that won't go, they'll go to a certain length, but they won't go as far as you think they should go to be a real revolutionary, and so we'll call them Uncle Tom. And so, I think that it's unfair to say that an Uncle Tom is somebody that completely has abandoned the people and all that. I just think that they won't go as far as we believe that they need to go. Now, on the other side, you have people, and it sounds like the characters that Brother Warren is talking about are people that are very conscious of their attack on our people. Those people are traitors to our people. And during this time, we need to be very cognizant of that type of character because they're the ones that try to help keep us oppressed while they benefit. And so I call them traitors, you know, just to put it out there. I call them traitors to our people. When, and I use an example of Clarence Thomas, who sits on the Supreme Court. Now, he was the replacement as a black male for Thurgood Marshall, one of the most honorable Supreme Court justices of all time. And he was at the forefront of a lot of the civil rights fights for our people. And Clarence Thomas is the antithesis of that. He's darker skinned than Thurgood Marshall, but that's about it. Because a sister that Adlai Sanford did a beautiful tape on the intentional miseducation of black children. And in that tape, she said, black is a political statement. So every person that's black ain't black.
Hmm.
When you state that you're black, then you have to represent the cause of black people. So if people are not representing the cause of your people, we don't have to waste our time trying to convert them, because you're not. They're profiting, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they love that good life that the devil is giving to them. And so they're going to continue to be who they are. And they'll even take your life to prove how dedicated they are to that cause.
Mm.
So we don't need to waste our time trying to convert these people. We need to spend more time trying to convert our young children into promising young minds that can make this world a better place for us to survive and live in. So that's my response to what your question was, Brother Mark.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate that. Brother Warren, Brother George, I need your assistance right now. Getting late in the show, I got a person who continues to call from an anonymous number. Right, and usually I just hang up and let it go. But today I'm asking you, Brother George and Brother Warren, should I take this call?
It's up to you, sir. You make the call. Take the call.
So they're calling for you anonymously. So I just want to open it up. They got their hand raised. So here you go. You've been calling a lot. So welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Warren?
Well, it could be that Dr. Warren's caution is warranted, because I'm one of the persons who's been accused of being a race traitor, a spy, and a
from an
instigator.
Anonymous number. I'm calling it from an anonymous number, sir. Nobody else is doing that. That's all I want to ask first.
Sir, my calls automatically do that for every phone call I make, because I don't want unsolicited business. So that's what every phone call I make looks that way.
So you want to hide your identity.
Again, sir, I'm not hiding. I'll tell you who I am if you make it worth my while. But is that really necessary? Is he Brother Juan? Does he tell you who he is?
If you want to call anonymously and talk, then you should be able to share something with the
listeners. I'm one of the people he is sir, I'm one of the people he is discussing. I would think you would like to offer me an opportunity to make a rejoinder to what he has said. If you don't,
as the host, first, I'm just asking you why you continue to call from an anonymous number to state your point when
dialogue. Telephone call I make is done that way automatically, because I don't want unsolicited business.
I just want to let my listeners know. I just want to let our listeners know.
You can put the call on mute, because
that's
what he does. He calls in to hijack his show. And you can put him on mute, Mark. Right?
Okay. So you're going to talk about me, and I can't. Okay, I get it. See, he's a coward, sir. He doesn't want to face me. And he knows it. Now, you don't have to let me on. It's your show. I'm not here to convince anybody of anything.
Go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say, but I just want to make sure that our listeners know. Don't yell, please, sir. You can use your voice, and we're going to talk humanely. That's what we do here, right? But I just want to make sure our listeners know that you're calling anonymously, right? That's all I'm saying. So go ahead. State your
point. I'm calling from a Skype number, sir. It's Skype. I'm using Skype. They always do that. Do you want me to give you the phone number so you can call me back? I could do that, too.
Okay, just go ahead and state your point, sir, please.
All right, here's my point, sir. I'm not here to convince anyone of anything. I mean, you have your own agency as I do mine. In fact, one of the things Brother Warren regularly does is dehumanize those who do not agree with him. He does not attribute to us our own agency and our own ability to come to our own conclusions and our own thoughts independently of what his are or anyone else's, even white people's. We are individuals. We have principles, Bianchi, especially me and Bianchi, which we regularly refer to, whether you agree with them or not. And we will stand by them because we believe them, not because white people importune us to do so, because we actually believe in the principles of the Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by the Creator, and inalienable rights, among them being the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I actually believe that. Now, I know that might seem like something I'm never supposed to say I believe, because I'm supposed to completely reject every ideal of Western civilization and the founding, that I do not, because Martin Luther King did not, and many of the things he said in that respect were true before he became a socialist. So again, sir, that's why I do it. And another objection I have is when people like Brother Warren will take my arguments and literally, because I have proof of it, sir, he will distort what I say into something I didn't say, set it up as a straw man so he can easily defeat it, when I, in fact, either did not say it at all, it's a complete falsehood, a complete distortion, or it's a distortion of what I said. And he does that regularly.
He
does it all the time.
And he won't be
accountable for it when he does it.
Yeah, just for a second.
Let me say this. This is the individual who described how he would like to murder me on one of the shows.
See, now I got the proof that that's a lie, too. I'll play you the tape, and you draw your own conclusion.
He doesn't believe.
No, sir. I saved all of these things on tape. And you can listen to what I said. You can listen to what he said, and you can draw your own conclusion, because he's lying, sir.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold you for one second. I just want you to listen, sir. But here it is. Hold on
for a second.
Warren, hold on for one second, right?
Okay.
This show is designed for us to communicate and dialogue. I don't mind y'all having differences because that's what the world is about. But I want for us to have a constructive conversation. We can have differences, and it's okay to have differences, right? But when we start yelling at each other, then we don't make it happen. And I want to make it happen, right? I want you to have your point. The brother can say whatever he feels, right? If he feels that this country is right for him and is working for him, that's cool, right? But I want the brother to go ahead, finish your dialogue, sir, and then we're going to have a healthy conversation in perspective.
Do you understand what he just accused me of committing? He just accused me of committing a crime. It is a crime under the Federal Communications Commission to transmit a threat to murder someone or to incite someone to murder someone. He just accused me of a crime. Now, if he were to do that formally in a court of law, I would have to muster a counter to that, because that is a crime. I did not commit a crime, sir. I did not say I was going to murder him. I responded to a comment he made with regard to what he accused me of being. He accused me of being a fraudulent Vietnam veteran because my experiences and my recital of my experience as a combat veteran of Vietnam were not identical to his brother's. And he said since they weren't identical to his brother's, I guess his brother being the gold standard for Vietnam veterans' experience, therefore I could not possibly be a real Vietnam veteran because I didn't want to flag my officers and I didn't want to mutiny and disobey lawful orders. That's what he said. So I responded rather harshly to it, admittedly, but it was by no means other people murder him. And I can play it back to you so you can hear the entire conversation. And you can make up your own mind. He does that all the time.
Now Marv,
sir,
I'm like
going to hold you right there. Thank you.
Yeah,
go ahead, Warren.
I like to say
this is one of the individuals who led the complaint against me, the Blog Talk. I guess you could call it a lynching. And, again, we talked about alter egos. So here, ladies and gentlemen, the alter ego, that is the person who comes across as this war hero, this Rambo, this General MacArthur-type character. Now, I don't believe the guy is a Vietnam vet. I just don't believe. I'm not convinced. But let the record reflect that he did describe how he would like to kill me. Number two, he argues that there should be no Martin Luther King holiday. Number three, he bragged about the fact that his folks were slaves. He's glad they were slaves, okay? And number four, he's one of the ones who tries to find something good about slavery. And when you say slavery was bad, he digs in to try to find some good stories where the slave masters were good. And so this is one of the black emotional support dogs. But notice, he has all type of forums on the white conservative shows, but he wants to come into black people's forums all the time to interject and hijack the show with his bull crap. Let me read this email to you again, ladies and gentlemen, I got this morning. I told you that you would be banned from Blog Talk. Thanks to our friends that you hate, Piaki Sarge and Vincent Brown, you have no voice here. If you act like a nigger, we treat you like a nigger. We will restore our republic. This is the company that people like him who called in keeps. Notice his style. He gets aggressive. He tries to take over, and he doesn't calm down. I've had run-ins with him many a times, and he's one of the ones whose dream it is to debate me in some sort of debate forum when I've kicked his butt several times already. He won't have the privilege to talk to me because he has proven himself to be a foul manner. And let me say this, Brother Marr, what we all need to do as we go down to the show. We must be aware of the tactics and the tricks that are out there to have us as black people. And when I say black people, I'm not just talking about American blacks, but black people coming from Africa, coming from the Caribbean, coming from Latin America into this country. We are all searched. And we have to be careful about the feudal lords trying to get us to fight with each other. The conservative agenda has found a way to get inside black community and have them articulating anti-immigrant rhetoric. Why? Because the white population, as it becomes the minority in this country, is going to need to recruit some non-white people to help them promote their white supremacy. And the caller you heard, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the eager, willing, and excited soldiers to wave the flag of white supremacy in the front of the army. And we must be aware that this is the time we're living in, and to be armed with knowledge to confront these alter egos initially that's on social media. They are all frauds, fakes, and liars. Thank you, Brother Martin.
All right. Well, we're coming close to the end. Again, sir, thank you for calling like the rest of the callers. Thank you for joining us on Slido. Again, my goal is to have a productive discord and conversation and dialogue, whether we agree or disagree. And there's some disagreements that are going to happen amongst our people because of many, a myriad of reasons. But, again, it's all about empowerment. It's all about being positive, peaceful, and productive. Brother Warren, I want to close with these final comments. Where to from here, right? Where are you going from here? What can we do, again, to support you and your cause to elevate and educate our people? And,
My spirit will be lifted when our people study and read, know your experience, know your family's experience from these states where we live, where we were enslaved, where we were abused, where we were tortured. Please document and be prepared for verbal combat, not necessarily physical, but be prepared for frauds like the caller who crafted a series of talking points to dismiss our grievance against the country. That's how my spirits would be lifted. I have many other projects I'm working on, travels that I'll be doing. But I want to thank the Empowerment Saturday, again, because it's an institution, is consistent, is dedicated to our people, and Brother Marv is doing an outstanding job of leading this effort, and the National African American Empowerment Association is where we all should be tuned in on Saturdays. Thank you so much, Brother Marv, for allowing me to share my experiences with being banned from Blog Talk Radio, led by people like Robert Gardner of CNN Radio, probably one of the most vicious white supremacists I've come across in a while, and his servants and emotional support dogs like Vincent Brown, Kiaki Dan Coley,
right.
And Sorry, the war
the
hero from Vietnam and Gulf War, supposedly.
All right. Thank you all for listening. It's African American Empowerment, 365 days. We'll talk to y'all next week. That's how it goes sometimes. Thank you, Brother Warren. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Brother Booker. And thank you for listening. Peace and blessings to you all. May you all have a great week. We love us, and we got to learn how to love ourselves even more. Peace and blessings.
Scorned and covered with scars, still strong with his last ounce of courage to reach, oh, to reach the unreachable.
Disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. Peace.